You can't have a desire for some certain element that your body is craving unless that element is out there. You can't thirst for something that doesn't exist. And you can't press for and become desperate for something that doesn't exist. And God knows that you have need of certain things. And so he places these things in you, these desires in you, and these desires in you call out for those things. And then he gives you faith to believe that it's there so that you can then press forward and not look backwards or sideways or not consider any of the circumstances. Praise the Lord. So we know that our faith must be constant. It must be unwavering. It must be steadfast. It must be diligent. Too much of the time, we're so focused on, oh, I need some real strong faith. I need a greater faith, a greater amount of faith than what I've had before. I need a greater measure of faith. No, you just need to stay with it. Not be up and down and up and down, trying it today and then, like some kind of a fad. Oh my, like dieting. You know, people will try different diets and they'll try it for just a short period of time. I'm convinced that just about any diet will work. Amen? In fact, the best diet I know is just to pull away from the table. But just about any diet will work if you'll just stay with it. But the reason why we don't stay with it many times is because it's boring, or maybe we're not getting the feedback that we would like to have, or maybe it's too slow, or what have you. But when it comes to faith, if you apply that faith, if you step out in faith and don't stop, that faith will be rewarded. The reason why we get frustrated is because we do this stop, start, stop, start, stop, start, and we see that we get no results. Well, just don't stop. That's the only part that you have control over, is whether or not you're just going to put it in gear and stay in gear and keep pressing forward. Don't let your confession go up and down and in and out, and shut your mouth if you have to. Don't say anything if you have to. If you can't make the statement of faith, then don't say anything. But once you've made that statement of faith, don't change it. So faith, there's a rest that comes with faith, because faith already knows the outcome and is therefore without fear. There's no fear in faith. Faith is a substance, but it's not a substance of something that you can see with your human eyes. It's the thing that you are believing in is actually made of or exists entirely by faith. And it will materialize. It will become something in this dimension if you just hold on. You're actually bringing it from one realm into another. But what you're bringing from that other realm is already there. It already exists. Remember, you can't crave it if it doesn't exist. But what you're trying to do is trying to pull it out of the heavenly places, pull it out of that other dimension, pull it out. It's the Word of God that you're trying to pull out and see it manifested in this dimension. And God uses you to do that. Praise the name of the Lord. So faith is not hope, because hope is desiring what faith already possesses. Hope is a cherished desire, but faith is a product. It's actually a substance. It's something that actually exists. It's not an I hope so, or maybe, or if I cross my fingers or turn around and click my heels three times and say there's no place like home, or whatever your favorite saying might be. Faith is real. How do you teach somebody to believe in believing? It just seems God said it. So if it's in His Word, it's true regardless. So faith is not out of reach of anybody that's sitting here in this service this evening. And the source of that faith is God. All faith comes from God. And it comes by hearing His word that's spoken to you. You can't have faith in something that you've never heard. Amen? So when God speaks to your soul, it's settled. When it rests down, when it finds its resting place, when it goes beyond the gray matter, when it goes beyond the intellect, when it goes beyond the intelligence, and it finds its way down into the control tower of your being, in the innermost part of your being, when that faith strikes, all of a sudden you just know. You know that it's yours, or you know that you can have it, or you know that it exists. And it's settled, and nothing else is required, and your search is over. We sing that song, I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. But when you find them, your search is over. But that doesn't mean, friends, that the battle is over. Your search is over, but not the battle. And many times, the battle's just beginning. But now you have something to do battle with. What you have is faith, and faith is what holds on to that sword and takes it into the heart of the enemy. Faith is what causes you to go forward. Faith is what causes you to reach into that other dimension and pull it out of that dimension into this dimension. Praise the Lord. So it starts out as a need or a desire in our hearts for something that we don't physically possess at this moment in time. Or for a certain outcome that we desire to have take place in our lives. There has to be a desire there first. And if the thing that we desire, if it's not outside of the will of God, and the way to know that is to look into the Word of God, because His Word is His will. So if it's not outside of the Word of God, then we have every right as sons and daughters of God to ask for it. And then once you've asked for it, you have every right to go looking for it and expect it to come into being. And you have every right to pester the Lord. You have every right to ask over and over and over. I'm not talking about repetitive, just saying words over and over, but you have every right to hold on until you have possession of it. Praise the name of the Lord. So many times we'll start out with mental faith, and mental faith is okay. Mental faith is something that we accept in our minds, right? But it's not the same as knowing. It's the same. You've accepted, okay, that's possible, or okay, that could happen, or whatever. So you accept it in your mind, and you have a mental conception of the promise, or a mental confession, I should say, of the promise that God has made towards you. And if you just hold on to that and just keep walking in it, at the appointed time, God will anoint the faith, that mental faith, and it will become substance faith. But if the mental faith isn't there, you'll never even get the substance faith. Right? If the mind is battling with it, you've got to get, the mind is a doorway. Right? And if the mind is doubting, if the mind is filled with disbelief, you've got to work on that mind first. Get that mind to open up so that faith can come down and find its resting place. And faith always finds its resting place in the Word of God. So if we want anything from God, we know that all good things come from God, then we must work according to His laws. And His laws are His ways, and His laws are not opinionated, and His laws are not political. In other words, they don't favor one person over another. There's no buddy system. There's no, this will work for this one, but it won't work for that one. Or this one is on, you know, is like this with them. And this other one is a little more distant, and so it won't work. God honors faith. Amen? And it, you know, there were people that would go to Beatles concerts. And they believed that if they could get there and get around those Beatles, that they'd be healed. Right? And many were. And you say, oh no, they weren't Christians, or they weren't this, or they weren't that. They had faith. And God honors faith. It's a law. You should rejoice right now. He said, but that isn't fair. You know, they're not the elect of God. What do you care? Amen. What it's showing is a principle that anyone that takes God at his word, anyone that has faith in something, God will honor that faith. Oh, it's so wonderful, friends. It's something that we all have access to. It's not just special for certain people. So we must serve God his way and not man's way, and not the way that we think that things ought to work. Now, we're in a particularly difficult age at this point in time because in this age in particular, we're dealing with more religious spirits than just about any other age. And that's in addition to spirits of drunkenness and murder and, you know, lying and what have you. Those spirits have always been here. But the religious spirits, now that's at another level. A religious spirit is the most deceiving of spirits because it wants everything its way. And it will not repent ever, ever. And it will not humble itself to approach things God's way. But it insists that it's got to be its way or the highway. But a born-again son or daughter of God wants things God's way and has confidence in God's way and is convinced that God's way is the best way and it's the right way. Somebody say praise the Lord. So God has natural laws and God has spiritual laws. And we can have mental faith when we look at God's natural laws. And what that does is inspire us and open up the channel and open up the door for spiritual faith to find its resting place. So we need to understand his laws and we need to have confidence in his laws. And then we need to work according to his laws. And we need to be careful that we don't make his laws complicated. We need to be careful that we come back time and time again to the simplicity of the Word of God. God has written this and he's laid this out, as the scripture says, such that a fool should not err therein. There's a lot of distraction here tonight, and I'd like you to just keep looking over here, because when you get distracted, it just pulls me another direction. Let's have church tonight. You made me plow this morning. And you know, I can go outside and start preaching and see if we can have church out there if you want. Brother John worked on you. I don't know what the problem is. I think it's, you know, laziness or wanting somebody else to do the work or whatever. But you've got a part in the service. So our text tonight comes from a very familiar scripture, and we're going to read it here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And I don't care who you are here tonight. I don't care what level that you're at in your walk. You can benefit from this. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts. And she cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." In other words, she's bothering us. She's pestering us. You know, send her away. Now, this particular, you know, Canaan, of course, is in the northern part of Israel. And Tyre and Sidon is actually in Lebanon. And it's over by the coast. So this is, you know, they're a long ways away from Jerusalem. They're up into the Gentile regions of Israel and Lebanon. Now, the Bible commentaries, I looked up vexed with the devil, and you know, you think, well, I know what that means, and many times we think we do, but then we look into it, and there's meaning there that was just waiting for us to ask. Vexed with the devil. To be under the power of a demon. In the New Testament, these are persons afflicted with especially severe diseases, either bodily or mentally, such as paralysis, blindness, deafness, loss of speech, epilepsy, melancholy, insanity, etc., whose bodies, in the opinion of the Jews, demons had entered into and so held possession of them as not only to afflict them with ills, but also to dethrone the reason and to take its place themselves. Accordingly, the possessed were wont to express the mind, or they were lacking in the ability to express the mind and the consciousness of the demons dwelling in them, and their cure was thought to require the expulsion of a demon. Well, they were right. Many times, demons are cast out just at the preaching of the word. Because as you receive that word, that demon has to leave. Because a demon is unbelief. So we have to understand that in this particular story, in this particular act that was carried out, at that particular time, there was segregation between the Jews and the Gentiles and the Jews and the Samaritans. And it was actually politically correct. It was kind of the opposite of how we are today. In that day, it was actually politically correct to be bigoted. It was actually a good thing for you to recognize I shouldn't have any part with a Samaritan if I'm a Jew, and vice versa. So this woman had no doubt heard that there was a deliverer that was going out throughout the land. And of course, there's no way that you couldn't have heard that, because it was causing such a tumult in the land, and the kingdoms of Satan was being challenged and overturned, and demons were being cast out right and left, and the religious world was all stirred up. And so she had heard about, no doubt, all the mighty wonders and all the mighty miracles that were taking place throughout the land. And of course, she didn't fully understand the significance of what was taking place at that particular time, but her daughter had a need, and nobody could help her. She'd been to all the specialists, and nobody could help her. Now think of it, friends. The scripture doesn't tell us precisely what her daughter's condition was, what it was that she was possessed of, and I tonight, for one, am thankful for that. I'm glad that it doesn't say, because, you see, it doesn't matter what kind of a devil it was that possessed her daughter. Whether it was sickness, or whether it was leukemia, or whether it was influenza, or whether it was blindness, or insanity, or high blood pressure, this result, this approach will work with any condition. There's no condition that you can come up with that will stand in front of this approach. So all that we know is that her daughter had a need. And her mother, and the mother looked beyond the condition and wanted her daughter back. And she believed that it was somehow possible. So there was a thirst in her heart for healing for her daughter. And she wasn't going to give up until she found the source of that. So it didn't matter what her daughter's faith said. Her daughter's faith, she might have had a demon that was cursing mother. She might have had a demon that was thrashing around that was making mother's life miserable, but it did not matter to that mother what her daughter said or what her daughter's faith declared or what her daughter had done or what her daughter had not done or what brought her into that current condition. That just covers it all, friends. It didn't matter what her background was. The mother was crying out for the healing of the daughter. So we don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us how long her daughter had been in that condition. Once again, I'm thankful for it, because it doesn't matter whether you just got that condition or whether you've had it all your life. And if we're not careful, we might think, well, I just got this, so I gotta, you know, maybe I'm supposed to put up with it for a little while. It'll work no matter what, friends. So maybe her church didn't believe in divine healing. Or maybe they offered seminars for healing, or some kind of a positive environment for healing, or maybe they offered some kind of a self-help program with multiple steps in place of a living God. Maybe they had a 10-step program that was teaching her daughter how to actually live with her condition. Maybe she was taking herbs Or maybe she had a doctor that was draining blood from her. Or maybe the doctor said it's a heavy metal problem and was trying to pull metals out of the soles of her feet. Go ahead and get quiet on me. Maybe somebody else was coming along saying, well, you know what the problem is that you're missing an essential oil. You know what? I totally agree with that tonight. There's only one oil that's essential, and that's the Holy Ghost. And that's what you're missing. Because in the Holy Ghost is healing. In the Holy Ghost is deliverance. In the Holy Ghost is restoration of eyesight. In the Holy Ghost is restoration of blood pressure and sugar diabetes. It doesn't matter what it is. It's all in that essential oil of the Holy Spirit. Now, if people want to try all these other things, friends, I'm not here tonight to criticize all those other things, but that's not the faith that we're looking for. That's not the faith in the Word of God for you and I tonight. Praise His wonderful name. So, maybe her church was believing for her deliverance, but her daughter was continuing to get worse. So whatever the situation might have been, we don't know the exact details of the situation. This mother had heard of a deliverance ministry that was moving throughout the land, and her understanding was that it was the King of the Jews that was moving through the land and that was bringing deliverance through the land. It was the Son of David that was going to sit on the throne of David. And so something in her heart said, oh, hallelujah. And I'm glad it was in her heart and not just in her head. Something down in her heart said, if I can get to the Son of David, my daughter will be made well. I just know it's going to take place. Now, I want you to notice before we even go further that she didn't even have Christ in his right time of coming. She thought of him as the Son of David, but he wasn't the Son of David. He will be the Son of David. The Son of David is an office, or it's an expression of God in a certain manifestation. He was Son of God or Son of Man, but he wasn't Son of David. So if you don't call on him in the right in his right time and under his name is what he's performing at a particular time. If you don't call upon him in the right way, you don't have access to what you have need of. But even though she was calling, and even though she didn't even have the right understanding of what ministry it was that he was performing, there was something else that was down inside. This is critical, friends, because you might be sitting here tonight saying, well, I'm not sure I understand what the seven thunders are, or I'm not sure I understand what this doctrine is, or I'm not sure I've really got that doctrine down, and somehow maybe that's affecting my healing. It has nothing to do with it. Your healing is based on whether you believe for your healing. All your doctrine can be wrong, but if you believe in your healing, you'll get your healing. Praise the Lord. That's a trick of the devil to try to distract us and try to get us off of what's important. You know, I don't care what you know. Amen. All you need to know is that he's your healer. So something in her heart told her and spoke to her and said, if I can get to that Son of David, my daughter will be made well. I just know it. Not maybe, or this is the answer that I've been looking for. I've tried this one, and I've tried that one. I've looked all over. And sometimes we got to do that, friends, because that removes all doubt. Sometimes we've got to exhaust every avenue. Maybe you went to the foot specialist. Maybe you went to the herbologist or the oil person or whatever. But you've got to exhaust all of that. Amen. To realize you're my only option. Well, guess what? He's the only one that can help you anyway. So she heard that he had come nearby, and so she made her way to try to get to him. And she, no doubt, friends, she must have faced many obstacles as she's on her way to try to get to Jesus. And she likely met all kinds of scoffers along the way. You know, you tell somebody what it is that you're believing in, and there'll sure be enough devils laughing at you and trying to discourage you and try to show you how stupid you sound and how foolish it is. And will ask for evidence, and what they're doing is they're trying to chip away at that faith. But faith is going to hold on. Faith is going to persevere. Faith is going to head forward and not look backwards. Faith is not going to consider any circumstances, but faith is going to take you to your goal. So this woman was a Greek. She was a Syrophoenician woman. The scripture tells us she was not a Jew, but she considered not her race. You know, that could have stopped her right there. Well, this is the Jews, and he's sent to the Jews, and he's the king of the Jews, and I'm not a Jew, right? But I'm going anyway. I don't care about any of that. My desire, my painful desire to see my daughter delivered trumps everything. So she wasn't a Jew, and she considered not her race. She didn't consider her background, but she looked only to the desired outcome. And so when the mother gets to Jesus, she begins to cry out to Jesus. And she's pressing her way, trying to get to him. And she's asking for mercy. And she's telling him her daughter needs deliverance. And she's desperate to see her daughter delivered. And the Lord Jesus has been pressured for days now. Now remember, this is a God-man. This is the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a man. And as a man, he got tired. As a man, he was wore out. As a man, he needed to go away and rest, just like you and I do. And so he's been at it for days. He's had these campaigns for days, and she's gotten wind of it. And so she's coming in at the tail end of the meetings. You ever had that experience? You ever had the experience that you wanted to get to some meetings and everything, work got in the way, car broke down, you ran out of money, whatever it is? Don't just stare at me here tonight. And so somehow you pressed and you pressed and you pressed, and maybe you got into the last meeting. And the devil's telling you, well, you know, you just missed it all and it's all over and all the good stuff happened. But something in you said, yeah, but I've got a certain need, and I've been putting it before the Lord, and I'm just, something in me has told me that in these meetings something's going to happen. Not because there's a certain personality or not because of the people, but I've been pressing for this and pressing for it, and the devil's been fighting me, but I know that if I could just get there, it'll be all over. Anybody ever had that experience? So it doesn't matter whether it's at the beginning or whether it's at the end. What matters is that you get to him. So this mother, when she finally does get into his presence, she addresses him as Son of David, which is the future office when he rules and reigns with his queen in the millennium, with his bride in the millennium. So he doesn't answer her. It's not that he doesn't have an idea that she's trying to call upon him, but he doesn't have to answer her or respond to her because she's not calling upon him through the right office. So she addresses him as Son of David. Now, too many would have stopped right there when he was silent, when he didn't answer her right away. They would have just stopped and they would have said, well, I'll go try something else. You know, somebody told me that this would work, but, you know, I kind of knew it. Deep down inside, I kind of knew that this wasn't going to amount to anything. Well, you never had faith. Because deep down inside is where the faith is. If there's something deeper down inside than your faith, then that's what's going to prevail. But faith considers not, faith isn't reasoning. Faith isn't considering the circumstances. Faith is declaring. Brother Doug, I prayed to the Lord for a need, and he didn't answer. Well, join the club. Amen. We've all done that. And it'll happen again. It doesn't mean that he didn't hear you, and it doesn't mean that he isn't going to answer your prayer. He's testing you many times. Well, since he didn't answer me, maybe I'm supposed to live with this thing. Well, he didn't answer you, so where'd you get that idea? He didn't tell you that. His silence didn't tell you that. Well, maybe he didn't hear me. He hears you, friends. Well, maybe I'm not worthy. You aren't. Why are you bringing that into the picture? Remember, it's not your righteousness. your faith is in His righteousness that He is bequeathed to you. Well, maybe He doesn't do these things anymore. You know, isn't that interesting? All these arguments that come out that are not word-based. Well, so-and-so was telling me, well, that's really nice. Is so-and-so God? Is so-and-so your ultimate? Is so-and-so where you're resting your soul in? Is so-and-so the one that has determined your destination? There's only one, friends, that we should worry about what He thinks. There's only one that we should take completely at His word, and that's our God. Well, maybe I'm supposed to just believe that I got it. That's one of the biggest traps that I've ever ran across. And it's still amongst us today. Maybe I should just believe I got the Holy Ghost. Well, if you don't got the Holy Ghost, you ain't got it. Maybe I should just believe it. And what we'll do is we'll take stories and that were put up that examples that seemingly push that idea out, but that's not the idea that God wants you to have here tonight. The Lord never tells you, go away. Amen. The Lord never tells you, you can't have it. If He does say that to you, He's contradicting His own word. You can't have it, or it's not for you, or I quit doing that, or I ran out, or that was just for, you know, before the book came open. I've heard that so many times it makes me sick. You know, since the seals opened, God changed His word. Oh, really? He's wasted 2,000 years restoring something to just get rid of it? God doesn't change His word. We're going to face all kinds of obstacles. And there's going to be all kinds of feelings that come with those obstacles. But we have to look past the feelings. And we have to look at the root of the matter. And the root of the matter is, what does God's word declare about it? If God says you can have something, you can have it. So why would we consider anything else? Help me out here tonight, church. So in the account, so we read the account out of Luke. In the account of Mark chapter 7, verse 24, we're told that Jesus entered into a house and would have no man know it, but He could not be hid. Aren't you glad tonight? He can't be hid from a son or daughter of God. He can't be hid from a child of God that's calling upon Him in their time of need. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Him and came and fell at His feet. So He went into the house and shut the door, and He was hiding from her. And not just her, but there were many others, no doubt, that were still pressing and following after her. And no doubt, He was just wore out, friends. He needed rest. And there would be no end to the press if He stayed in the prayer line. We saw that in our day. We saw a man that had a heart that would do anything for people. And he ended up having a nervous breakdown. He ran himself into the ground because he wouldn't get out of the pulpit. He would have prayer lines that would last 24 hours. There would be people that would be in the prayer lines that would just keep coming back in the line. And maybe they had this need, or maybe they had that need, or maybe some are just trying to see the gift exercise, you know, and some were looking at it as entertainment, and some was just the devil trying to wear them out. Amen? And so, Brother Branham had to learn how to get out of the pulpit. He had to learn when it was time to stop, right? Because you can only take so much. And you were sent there for a specific purpose, right? You're not going to heal the whole world. That was not why you were sent there. Right? Praise the Lord. So, he needed this rest. And he went into the house to get this rest. Had the door shut. And the disciples of the Lord then were... they're trying to get rid of her. And probably other people too. But she wouldn't be turned away by preachers, and she wouldn't be turned away by the church, no matter what they might say to her. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I certainly have. You might come to a church for the first time, and the devil will send his best ambassador to meet you. and you'll be treated in such a way, you know, there'll be some goofball with some goofy revelation that'll back you up against the corner and try to get you to, you know, say uncle to it, twist your arm around, and will leave you with the impression that the whole church is that way. But it's just this one nutbag. That's how the devil works. But faith will say, you know what, I don't care if you're a nutbag or not. I ain't here for nuts. Right? You might be a bag full of nuts, but I'm not here for nuts. I'm here for my daughter. And you can't give it to me, so I don't care. Get out of my way. Say all manner of things about me. It doesn't matter. I'm not here for that purpose. I'm here for my daughter. She didn't come there to see preachers. She didn't come there to see the church. She came there to have an audience, a personal audience with the great physician. And she would not be turned away, no matter what teachings they might have come up with, no matter how hard they tried to shove her out of the way or shove doctrines down her throat or shame her or put something on her or take something off. It didn't matter, friends. She was there for a purpose. And they no doubt called her names. And they no doubt told her, you're not in the message, so you're not entitled to this. Or you're not bride because you're a Syrophoenician woman. And we're only called to minister to the bride. You're still smoking, or you're still drinking, or you're still a Lutheran, or whatever. Amen? And they must have tried very hard to get rid of her because she wouldn't leave. And so it actually got to the point, can you imagine this? All these disciples, and it's just one woman. And all these, you know, burly fishermen and different ones that can handle just about anything. Rough sailors, you know. And they're trying to get rid of this one woman, and she won't leave. And so they know how tired Jesus is, but they're at the end of their rope, so they're going to appeal to a higher power. And they're confident that he's going to come off and scare her away. So they're trying hard to get rid of her because she wouldn't leave. So they go into the house to wake Jesus with, you know, they want Jesus to come out like some pit bull to take a bite out of her and run her off. Now, why didn't they just pray for her? You ever wonder? Okay, Jesus is he's tired and everybody's trying to press and he's done. But these guys aren't done. Why didn't they pray for her? So Jesus comes out and he tests her faith. Verse 24, Matthew 15, 24. But he answered her and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. So he first tells her, look, here's the deal. You know that there's segregation in the land, and you know that the Jews have no dealings with the Gentiles, and the Gentiles have no dealings with the Jews, and the Samaritans, which are kind of a half-breed, have no dealings with these other two categories. I want you to know, and I want to remind you, that I'm only sent to provide medical assistance to the lost sheep of Israel. You see that on my shoulder here? You see my badge here? It's just for, this is for other people. You have no rights to this. Now notice, she didn't argue with him. She didn't rebuke him. And she didn't stomp off in a huff. She did a very strange thing. She got on her knees in the presence of the king. And she began to sing, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. She began to worship him. Here she has this need, and seemingly he's saying, you can't have it. But she's recognizing, I'm in the presence of the king. And as long as I'm here, I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity that I have. If I die right here, and if my daughter dies, I'm going to stay here and worship him. I'm not going to leave without expressing what's in my heart for the king. Oh, praise his wonderful name, friends. That's how it ought to be every time we come to church. We ought to come with, you know what, I don't care if God doesn't do a thing for me today. I've got this need and that need, and I don't know why this isn't being answered and that isn't, but I don't care. I've come to worship him. And he told me that where two or more are gathered, he would be there. So I'm confident that he'll be there this morning. And if I come and he doesn't say a word to me, if he doesn't even turn my direction, I'm going to worship him. Oh, praise his wonderful name. That's something that comes from the soul, friends. Oh, hallelujah. So she calls him Lord and asks him for help. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it's not meet or it's not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? Now he's calling her a dog. It's bad enough that she's mixed race, and he's saying, I don't have anything to do with mixed race. It's only the pure race. So the disciples, right about this time, they start high-fiving one another, and they start saying, well, that's what we called her, Lord. We called her a dog and a cow and a pig and all kinds of things. And here you're backing us up. She's a mangy old dog, Lord. Why don't you just kick her away? Why don't you cause her to get out? She has no place, no part in this. You've come to the lost sheep of Israel. You've come to the healing is the bread of the children. Why waste it on this dog? So the Lord basically tells her, this medicine is for my children. I'm not a veterinarian. That was easy for me to say. I'm not a vet. I'm a doctor. And as a doctor, I'm here to treat my patients. But you're a dog. What you need is a vet. I'm not a vet. I'm not supposed to waste this medicine on animals. This medicine is for my children. Again, how would you have felt at that point in time? What I'm trying to show you, friends, is that what was anchored down on the inside of her, faith is a revelation. What when faith anchors itself deep down inside, it doesn't matter what you're facing. Everybody makes excuses for why they don't go forward, but faith makes no excuses, because faith has a one-track mind. Faith has an objective. Faith has a purpose, and faith will stop at nothing until it gets what it's pursuing. Praise his wonderful name. You know, many times when people come up to be prayed for, you know, and maybe we need to have some more instruction on it. Maybe it's a good thing to remind people over time. They'll come up for prayer, but what they're doing is they're coming up to see what you're going to do about it. You might as well stay in your seat, because I'm not going to do anything about it. You have to believe before you get up here that you're going to get what you're coming up here for. And if you believe that, guess what? You will get what you're coming up here for. And it won't be the man that did it. It'll be the mechanics of God. It'll be your faith operating according to the Word of God. You know, Brother Branham, when he was had that stomach trouble and he couldn't keep food down, and there was, he had such a bland diet. There was only just certain things that he could eat, and everything else would just, you know, he couldn't eat the onions and the bacon and the things like that he grew up eating. And so he's on a very limited diet, but he was in service, and his pastor was reading from the book of James. And James says, if there be any sick or afflicted amongst you, call the elders of the church, anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Right? And that just broke on him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That just became a revelation to him. It just spoke to him that, look, if I do this, if I follow these mechanics, then I can eat what I want to eat. I can be healed, right? Notice, there was no thought about, I wonder if Pastor Davis is living right. I wonder if Pastor Davis has the right doctrine. I wonder if the church is living right. It didn't matter. That scripture, friends, is mechanics. That scripture says, here's God's prescription. If you do that, and consider not the circumstances, if you just do this, this is the result. You believe that tonight? is absolutely the truth. All that, if reasoning comes into the picture at all, you've already lost. There can't be any reasoning. If we follow God's word, it's amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So people will come forth, and then they actually will get mad at people that pray for them because it won't be manifested in their life. Now, friends, I know that if I focus, if I fast a little bit, because it makes you more sensitive to the leading of the Lord, and if I make great sacrifices, I know that my faith can do things in your life. I know that. God has proven it to me. Amen. But it doesn't do you any good. Amen. You're the one that needs to operate your faith. And so by the preaching of the word and by uniting our faith with you, what we're trying to do is get your faith up to the level that you can take what belongs to you. And once you've done that, now you've got a key that's in your hand. And now from that time on, anything that you have need of, you know how to get it. Sometimes we might need somebody to put their shoulder behind us and add their faith to us, and we could feel it. We could sense that. But for somebody to believe for you, it's not a show. And if Brother Branham got disciplined over that. In fact, in the early part of Brother Branham's ministry, when he was in, I believe it was when he was in Arkansas, he was having these miracle lines. And the miracle lines were such that everybody got healed. Right? It didn't matter, but whose faith was being operated? It was his faith. And the angel of the Lord got on him about it. And he was actually, he actually didn't have the presence of that angel in his life for a period of time, 6 months or so. And it's because he was warned about it and he continued to do it. And he had a good motive. He had a good objective. He wanted to help people. But he's actually hurting the cause of Christ. Because if it was his faith that was operated all the time, why do you need faith? What are you getting out of it? Remember what the angel told him. If you can get the people to believe you, then nothing will stand before your prayer. Right? Not if you can believe for them, but if you can get them to believe. And that's what we're trying to do tonight. We're trying to get the faith we're trying to loose the faith that's in the building. Because there's faith all over the building tonight. But it's been gagged and it's been tied down. Straitjackets have been put on it. Chains of circumstance. It's being chained down. The Holy Spirit is being chained down and cannot move in our lives because we've accepted this excuse or that reasoning or this. But God has made you promises. And you can have what you have need of according to His Word. He wants you to have it. He's not trying to hold anything back. He wants to pour out the blessings tonight. He wants to open up the storehouses of heaven. And He wants to meet your every need. But He can't do it if you don't believe. Praise His wonderful name. Do you love Him tonight? Truth, Lord. Her faith is being tested. Notice there's several things that are being tested here. And it's not important that we know what they are. But let me just point some out. Her faith was being tested to see if her confidence was in her natural lineage. Well, if he says it's only for the Jews, then I guess I'm a Jew. Even though I know that I'm a Syrophoenician. Right? I must be a Jew because there's something down on the inside of me that says that's for me. It had nothing to do with who she was after the flesh. It had everything to do with the promised word of God. Verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord. This is after he's calling her a dog. She says, yet, if that's all I am is a dog, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Oh, friends, there's a tremendous, tremendous principle that's being presented to us here. It doesn't matter how much that God gives you. Amen. What matters is that it comes from God, that it's pure, that it comes from God. So she's not being disrespectful towards him. She's not being bratty towards him. She's not going off with a huff, but she's recognizing, you know what, I may be nothing. But she says, you know, if I just take this simple, humble approach, friends, that's the only way you're going to get anything from God. You will never get by being bratty, by being arrogant, by being pushy, irritable, even depressed. God's not going to act on your depression. He's not going to do something for you because he feels sorry for you. That may work on your family members, and maybe that's worked your whole life, where you just act bratty and you get what you want. It won't work with God. That's not a law of God. Amen? You have to come with the right approach. You have to come approach him in truth. And truth will strip you. Truth will take away all your defenses. Truth will expose you, and it'll show what's really there versus what maybe you want somebody to see. You just come as you are, right? You come and you say, okay, I might be a Syrophoenician. I might not have been born in the right land. Maybe we don't attend the synagogue. Maybe our people have been against this movement. Maybe this, maybe that, maybe the other, maybe this. But she had to just set all that aside. Maybe I'm not wearing the right kind of dress. You know, people will come in church and bring doctrines about how you dress and not know that they're being used of the devil. They're doing it because they're embarrassed. And so they make a doctrine out of it because they only want to be around people that wear suits and fancy dresses and all that. But somebody might be in the church that doesn't have a suit or a fancy dress. And so they'll think, well, you know, there's no point in me coming up and asking for anything. There's no point in me seeking God because I'm not dressed right. Just come as you are. I'm glad this doesn't depend on man's opinions. Man's foolish. You know, man makes up some of the dumbest rules sometimes. Just come. So she's not being disrespectful. She's coming humbly before him. The word of God tells us he resists the proud, but he reveals himself to those of a broken and contrite spirit. So the more broken you can become, the more confident you can be that he's going to reveal himself to you. So she tells him, look, I'm not looking to take bread away from the children's mouths. But if something happens to fall off the table, just a crumb, just a little piece. I don't care if I get the prime piece of the bread. If I just get a piece of the crust or a crumb, something that falls off the table while they're eating, aren't the dogs permitted to eat off the floor? If you said I'm a dog, I'll eat off the floor if I have to. All I know is that you have what I have need of, and I'll do whatever it takes to get it. I don't need a fresh loaf. I just need a scrap from the master's table. Just one scrap will do. For it is the same substance that the children of God are feeding on. So she's willing to be absolutely humiliated in order to get, she's got a greater goal. Her goal is greater than whether she's respected or whether she's treated right or whether she feels good. Her pride is not her goal. That's the trouble. So much of the time, friends, so much of the time, I'm convinced, and I just told you about the religious spirits. We can get a religious spirit on us and not even know it until it's gone. And then you realize you had one. And a religious spirit will always be proudful. A religious spirit will never allow you to admit that you're wrong. And as long as you can't admit that you're wrong, you're not repenting. And as long as you're not repenting, you can't be set free. And that devil will just stay right there. That condition will just stay right there. That nervousness will stay right there. That financial trouble will stay right there. Whatever it might be. And it's pride that's keeping it there. So much of the time today, people have a condition that's caused by the devil for whatever reason, and we're not here to analyze that. And they will defend that devil out of pride rather than just coming clean and saying, you know what, I got a problem. I don't want to be this way. You know, I've been kind of contrary lately, and I don't know why I'm being that way. I'm not going to blame it on the church any longer. I'm not going to blame my people problems on the church. You know what? Everybody doesn't have people problems. And you know why? Because some people just persevere past that. And I don't have time for it. I'm not going to get hung up in it. Other people, that's all they focus on. And as long as that's what you're focusing on, and as long as you don't admit that you're the problem, you're always going to have people problems. Always. And it really has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the fact that you won't come clean. Well, we're preaching tonight. I'm trying to help you. This is medicine. This is prescriptions that are being written. Humble yourself at the sight of the Lord. I'm convinced, friends, that so much of what we put up with in this hour is just because we won't come clean. We're afraid what this one might think or what that one might think, or we've had a position in the church for so long, you know, if we admit that, then it sounds like we're just starting over, or like we're a little baby. I don't care what it sounds like. Do you want to go free? And guess what? Nobody cares. Well, they're going to think badly about me. They'll think more of you. They'll have a higher opinion of you. You know, it actually humbles people to have somebody else humble themselves. It actually, you want to stop an argument, take the low road. You'll actually shame that person into doing what they should have done to begin with. They'll say, I'm sorry, and what have you. You take the high road, and what you're doing is you're legitimizing the argument. What you're doing is you're giving a purpose to whatever that difference is. But you take the low road. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're going to preach here in just a moment. I think we just kind of broke things open here. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Friends, this is not hard. You might be sitting there in your seat here tonight thinking, well, this is hard and that is hard. That's because it's in the darkness and it's in the quiet. And pride's covering it up or whatever. It's not hard. What we need to do is just expose it. Amen. And I'm not talking about you going around telling everybody what every little problem that you have and all the things that you've done wrong. I'm not talking about that tonight. What I'm talking about is if you've got a need, you need to admit it. Amen. Don't be noble and say, well, I guess I'll just suffer this thing for the Lord. You're not doing it for the Lord, I'll tell you that. It's bringing Him no glory. You want to bring glory to the Lord, let Him set you free tonight. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So she was willing to be absolutely humiliated because she had a greater goal than protecting her pride. And her goal was to see her daughter delivered. She's not even there for herself. She's there for her daughter. But people will allow pride to get in the way. And this is something that we've all had to struggle with. So much of the time, friends, deliverance comes solely or exclusively or only when a person comes clean about the matter. Just exposing the devil. If somebody's an alcoholic, until they admit that they have an alcohol problem, they'll never be free. If somebody has a critical spirit that came after they were hurt in life, as long as they say, well, that's just the way I am, or that's just my temperament, that will be just the way they are, and that will never leave, and it will never change, because it doesn't have to. So this mother had a greater goal in her mind than even being treated softly by the Messiah Himself. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy, because faith stood no matter what came her way. Great is thy faith. Then he says this, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Whatever you say, not if I say it, what you say, be unto you according to what you say. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You believe that tonight? So look at how that faith got a hold of the word, friends. And that word will always respond to faith. Christ is the word. He is the person of the word. He is the one that spoke things into existence. He's living, breathing. He's not a letter. He's a living word. But you can get his attention tonight. By faith. By your faith reaching out and declaring the word to be the truth. Notice he said, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Reminds me of the modern day example that we had of our sister Hattie Wright. I kind of wonder if it was Sister Hattie Wright for a purpose. Because if she didn't say the right thing, it would have been Sister Hattie Wrong. But she said the right thing. Well, of course, her name was Wright. She said the right thing. Imagine if she'd have said the wrong thing. We wouldn't have heard this story. In other words, ask what you will, and that is what is going to be done. Because it's your faith that's operating it. So Jesus is demonstrating to us how faith operates. And he told us, ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. In other words, ask anything according to my word. And I'll do it. Do you believe that tonight? If you don't believe it, that's why it doesn't happen. Ask anything, believing in faith. I'll do it. So here's how to ask tonight. You ask in faith, believing that you're going to receive or that you are receiving what you are asking for. And that's it. Well, that's too simple. Try it. If we're not sure that we can have it, then we're going to walk away. But if we have faith that we can have what we ask for, we'll stay there until we get it. You know, children have a sense about what they can get from mom and dad, right? And some have more faith than others. Because in some cases, mom and dad weren't going to do it. But some will stay there and ask and ask and ask. Whereas others of the kid, come on, you know, guess we can't have it. And they'll go away and sulk, but somebody else will just keep asking. Right? And then I saw it happen in my family. And I used to wonder, well, is it because my sister, my little sister, is it because she's the baby of the family? Or, you know, is it because she's a girl and I'm a boy? And, you know, you run through all these mental gymnastics and you're trying to come up with all these excuses of why she got what you were told no. And I'll tell you why she got it. Because she kept asking. Even when she was told no. Amen. Because there was something in her that believed that she could have what she was asking for. I hope you're listening tonight. Something in her told her, but you know what, I can have that. Right now, the obstacle seems to be mom saying no. But if I just keep at it and keep at it, I'm going to get it. And much of the time, she did get it. And left the rest of us wondering why we didn't get it. Because we accepted no too easily. And maybe we even felt noble about it, you know. Well, I'm just more respectful and I'm just, you know, I'm just being more obedient to mom and dad. No, you just didn't have persistence. You didn't want it bad enough. Right? Babies of the family or whoever it is that's in the congregation tonight that knows how this operates. I know that there's some people here tonight that know that that's the truth. And I should get a hearty amen from you. Praise the Lord. So So if we aren't sure that we can have it, we'll accept it. We'll walk away. But if we have faith that we can have it, we'll stay there until we get it. And then the trial of our faith will come. But our part is to be sincere and to stay on course without wavering, to accept no other alternative. It will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. You see, faith is declaring something that already exists. And where it exists is in heavenly places. But your job is to take it out of heavenly places into this dimension. And the way you do that is to become a bedding ground. And the way you become a bedding ground is by faith, and it's by professing, believing, accepting, and professing out of your mouth. Then you become a bedding ground, and then it takes root in your heart and your soul, and then it manifests. But your faith said it was there. Praise the Lord. So if you want anything from God, you have to be perseverant. Friends, I know this is a simple message, but sometimes we just need to get tuned up. You must be willing to press through every obstacle to get what it is that you have need of. And faith will be tested because faith has to be proven. And faith will not give up, but faith will persevere. So think about it tonight, friends. This woman wasn't asking for eternal life. This woman wasn't asking for anything for herself personally. She was asking for deliverance for her daughter. She was saying, you know what? I'm looking for something and I'm agonizing and I see my daughter in the condition that she's in. Notice, if this would be modern day, if this would be a message believer and not a Syrophoenician woman, a message believer would have been said, well, you know, la-di-da-di-da, I'm just holding the token over her as the daughter's possessed. Right? But a real mother will agonize over it. And a real mother will press. Amen. Until that faith anchors down. And when that faith anchors down, she'll press and press and press until her daughter is delivered. God will never pass aside anybody that has faith. God has to honor faith. He has to. Because it's His law. In Mark's account, we read that she ran home and found her daughter well, and found her daughter delivered, and found her daughter in the condition that she said that she would be in. So this woman was perseverant in the hour of death, but in this case it was death for her daughter that she was being perseverant over. And so she ran where she had to in order to find him. And she didn't stop at seeming rejection along the way or silence along the way. So the hour of death had to do with her daughter. It wasn't even something that had to do with her. And we're living in the hour of death once again, friends. And we've been promised that if we're sincere, that death won't stand before us. That death will be bound. That death will be placed underneath the feet of the body. But there has to be somebody that believes that. It's not just because he said it, but somebody has to believe it in order for it to be manifested in the body. And we know that it'll be manifested in the body because death will be under the feet of the body. So it'll be the body that's manifesting, conquering death. This is from the Message Perseverant. He says, man of all ages that's had faith in what they were trying to achieve has been perseverant. No man can be perseverant unless first he knows what he's trying to achieve. And you must first know what you're trying to achieve. And then have faith that you're going to get what you're trying for. And that makes you persistent. Something that you know is real. Faith is based that way. You know, friends, I watch you. I love you dearly. I love all of you. But I watch you. And not because I'm being critical, I just can't help but notice. And I notice some of you up and down and up and down and up and down. And I look and I think, why do you live that way? You're the most amener of the church, for a long period of time. Then the next thing you know, you're sitting on the back row, or you're sitting in a corner, or you got your head down. Is it okay if I say this? I'm going to say it anyway. But that's you putting up with something. I don't know what you're going through, and I feel for you. And I know that the trials of our faith, I have sympathy for that. But you have something tonight that's greater than what you're going through, and you don't have to put up with it. And we don't either. That's part of what holds back the service. Because you become a spectator and you kind of sit back and you kind of pull away from the service instead of being the amen corner. Amen, whether you feel like it or not. What you're amening, you're not amening the preacher. You're amening the Word of God. And when you amen the Word of God, what you're saying is, let it be. And when you amen the Word of God, guess who benefits? You do. This isn't about me and this isn't for me, it's for you. But if you sit there like a spectator, you'll get nothing out of it. Except more of what you came in here with. It's amazing. Some people can run out of here just floating on the clouds, and other people will leave lower than they came in because of your approach. Faith is based that way. Faith is not based upon a myth. And upon something that just said, go do this or do that. Or on the words of some man, but faith takes its eternal resting place upon the Word of God. Upon God's Word, which is the Bible. And now, man who's had faith in God has been very persistent in what they were trying to do. And we take man of all walks of life. For instance, George Washington here at Valley Forge. After praying all night in the snow up to his hips, he was wet way up around his waistline, and the river was full of ice. But he caught a vision from God in its faith. He caught a vision from God. He caught faith that God was going to give him the victory. So faith is recognizing that the victory already exists, and it's right there. Faith sees it. The natural eyes can't see it, but faith sees it. And the river... It had too much ice in it, though. Over 2/3 of his army didn't even have shoes on their feet. Their feet were wrapped in rags. They were standing in that cold. But yet he felt in his heart that God had given him the victory. And he prayed through. And the next day, we know that 3 musket balls went through his coat without touching him. And the river couldn't stop him. Neither could a musket bullet stop him. He was persistent because he had prayed through. And it was against all odds. He's facing the greatest army on the face of the earth at that time. They're outgunned, outmanned, outprovisioned, outtrained, out everything, out element. But he prayed through over it. He had faith in what he was doing, in the one that was leading him, and that was God. He says, nothing's going to stop a man when he's perseverant. When he knows what he is doing and he's got faith in what he is trying to achieve, nothing's going to stop him. So just in closing here tonight, to receive anything from God requires perseverance. We must knock, and then we must keep knocking. And we must keep knocking, knowing that sooner or later that door is going to open. We don't know how long we might have to knock, but that door will open. We read in the book of James, think not that a double-minded man can receive anything from God, for he is unstable in all of his ways. Defeat is not an option here tonight, friends. If you have the faith, you will know that you have the faith, because it is revealed to you. So we must be focused on our objective, not waffling back and forth, not turning this way and that way, not having this opinion and then that opinion, and then believing in this and then disbelieving in that, or accepting it. Or maybe we got low self-esteem, and so we think we got to put up with something. That's not faith. Faith needs to grab a hold of that word and not let go. Just hold on like a pit bull. Brother Brown talks about pit bull faith. Hold on like a pit bull. A pit bull grabs a hold and it won't. You can take that dog and shake it left and shake it right and pull it up and pull it down. It's got its teeth closed around its objective. and it's not going to let go. So defeat is not an option. We must continue to hold on because we have a very definite goal, friends. In this hour especially, we're uniting with the groom. We're going to take a body change. And we're going to see the rapture of the church. And we have been placed here in this hardest of ages to overcome everything that the enemy has raised up to conquer the church by in this hour. And you've been privileged to be the vessel that God's going to work through. We are not here to be overcome. We are not here to make excuses. We are here to be overcomers. And we overcome as a body in this hour. The whole body must overcome. So that means we're not all going to face the same challenges. What's a challenge for you might not be a challenge for me. But we will each overcome in what is placed before us as individuals. You believe that? So think about it, friends. Life is back in the body again. Life is placed before us once again, just like it was in the garden. And we receive that life in this hour, and death is swallowed up in victory. And Brother Branham told us that when death is swallowed up, everything else under it, because that's our greatest enemy and remaining enemy. When that's conquered, everything under it is conquered. So the second death cannot harm those that have chosen life in this garden time that we're living in. We're living in a garden time once again, and life and death has been put before us. And we've been advised to choose life. And if we choose that life, death is swallowed up. Amen. So those that refuse to go on, those that refuse to receive that life, they are marked by death today. Others are looking for that life to come to them in the future, not knowing that it's here right now. They're thinking they're going to get something in the future, but they are going to get something, but not as they suppose. So it's Satan's job tonight, friends. And it's Satan's objective tonight to obscure our vision, to get our eyes off of our goal. But we have been given eye salve. And we have a love for the truth. And we are going to hold on like Caleb. And our confession is going to be, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Satan is trying to tell believers tonight that what they are after is not within their reach and it's not within sight, and that they just have to put up with certain things. And many times we can see things with such clarity, and we think, you know what, I will never lose that vision. But sometimes you do. What causes us to lose that vision? It's focusing on the cares of this life. It's the daily battle that we focus on that causes us to become unfocused on the promises of God that God has made each and every one of us. Jesus had a one-track mind. He kept his focus on the goal, and he had his eye on that goal, and that goal was to please the Father, to do only his will and to do only his work and for only his word to be done in his life. Matthew 11, verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent, the energetic, take it by force. John didn't receive an upper room experience because it hadn't been given yet to the New Testament church. John was beheaded before the Comforter came. He was anointed from his mother's womb, but not with this baptism that we have here tonight. He was a saved man in his dispensation, but he was not yet in a Holy Ghost kingdom. He was outside the kingdom, and he was preaching the coming of a kingdom. And Jesus said, the least in the Holy Ghost kingdom is greater than John. And we look at John and realize he's the greatest man born of shoe leather outside of the Lord Jesus up until that time. Amen. He was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. He foreran the kingdom. So the law and the prophets, as we read when we started, were until John, but everyone after John has to press. So the kingdom is preached and we press into it. So the question that I have for each and every one of you tonight is, do you want it? And not just to be in the kingdom, but to be a possessor in the kingdom. Why be a beggar in the kingdom of God? You don't need to beg for anything. Amen. We have to take it with energy. Take it with faith. Take it with force. We're in Ephesian walk here tonight, which parallels the book of Joshua. We've had all the signs and wonders and miracles that led up to the crossing over into the promised land. But now we've got to cross into the land. We've got to take possession of what belongs to us. We've got to be the one to speak the word. We've got to be the ones to make the claims. We've got to be the ones that are pursuing the enemy. But to do that, you have to first believe that it belongs to you. Amen. Satan sends strong delusions to try to cloud our vision. But the promises are just as effective today as in any day. And they're actually more in reach today than they've been since 2,000 years. Amen. If there was ever a time to overcome, it's now. You know why? Because you can't lose. You can't. You're fully equipped. You have everything at your disposal. The full promise of God is here. The full word is here. And the full word will defeat the devil anytime, any place, and under any circumstance. So darkness was over Egypt, and then death set in the land before Israel departed. But it's now time for you and I to take what has been purchased for us, to take what belongs to us as sons and daughters of the kingdom. We're in a progressive walk, we realize. And we're pursuing a body change, as we spoke about this morning. But between the body change and where we stand right now are obstacles. But those obstacles can't stop you. They're just scarecrows, friends. They're just circumstances. But the Word of God has already defeated those obstacles. The setting and the conditions of our day are described plainly in Revelation chapter 3. And the promises are also given to him that overcomes. So Laodicea based her standing with God on her material blessings, but materials with no life has nothing to do with overcoming. The godly will face trials tonight, friends, and they will suffer persecution for the Son of Man's sake, and they will overcome. We're rugged sheep here tonight, friends. We're not greenhouse plants that have to be petted and babied. We're native plants. Hallelujah. We can take people problems. You may not believe that tonight, but I want you to say it anyway. We can take people problems. Well, how can you say that? Because the Word of God says so. We can take people problems. We can overcome whatever comes our way. Because we've got a goal tonight, and we are persevering towards that goal. And we must know what it is that we're trying to achieve, and we must press toward it. And if not, we're going to drift and we're going to go with the ebb and the flow of the tides of the cycles of this life. And there are tides and there are cycles. But you've been called to override those tides and cycles. To not be pulled back in and out, but to press forward. Not to go back and forth, but to go forward. We can see the vindication of darkness on every hand. How about the light? That's what we should be looking for. Because if the darkness is here, the light is surely here. We're people of the open book tonight, friends. And we're the last ones to run this race. So it's time for you and I to face down every obstacle. It's time for us to put away every petty excuse. It's time for us to look every devil in the face. It's time for us to say, you know what, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I am going to. Because the Word of God declares it. And I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm not going to suffer defeat. I'm here to be an overcomer. I'm here to be a vessel where the Word of God is going to be vindicated through. God's Word is going to be proven to be true in my life. No matter what comes my way. It's time for us to say, I don't know how the enemy will be defeated in my life. But I know that no devil is going to stand in my way. I know that I can declare, you cannot stand in my way. And it'll have to leave. I am taking my inheritance. And I'm driving every squatter off of my land. I'm persevering in the hour of death. And death is under my feet tonight. I was given inheritance and I'm here to take it. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. And I'll stop at nothing short of my full and complete inheritance. And I'm just going to make that confession. Maybe I get sick all the time. I ain't going to get sick all the time anymore. That's for another age. I'm done. Maybe I get depressed. I ain't going to do that anymore. I'll be tempted by it. It'll come my way. But I've been given something to overcome that by. Amen. I'm not going to be held back by any of these things. Hallelujah. Gates of hell, you're not going to prevail. Amen. You cannot stand in my way. You must give way. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord. I've been given a promise. I've got paperwork here that says you've got something that belongs to me. And I come in the name above all names. I want you to say that tonight. I come in the name above all names. And you must give way. I'm here to take what belongs to me. And I'm not going to stop until it's mine. How many can say that tonight? How many can say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Maybe it's just a small thing. Maybe it's just some little thing in your life that comes into your mind. But I don't care whether it's small or whether it's big. It doesn't matter. It's immaterial. There's nothing that can stand before your prayer. There's nothing that can stand before your faith. There's nothing that can stand before your confession. Because we're back on speaking terms again. We've got the full Word of God. We've got the Word of God. We know what He wants done with it. And we're the voice that's going to speak out and declare the things that aren't as though they are, because we see them tonight. The promises are all around us. And we're calling those things from that dimension into this dimension, saying, be it unto me according to thy word. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. Musicians, have you come? I like each and every one of you. Don't try to solve world hunger here tonight. Just take one thing and stand on it. Whatever it might be. And if you tell me there's no obstacle in your life, well, maybe the devil's already got you. We all have obstacles. We all have things that we're facing right this moment. Maybe we can't see through it. Maybe we can't see over it or around it. But God has made you a promise. And you don't have to put up with it. No excuses tonight, friends. It's time for us to take that faith that we've been given and put it into operation. Because once we do that, it's a key that you're turning. And once you've done that, then you do it again. Then you do it again. Then you do it again. This whole thing's a faith walk. Every bit of it. Start to finish. It's time for us to see the Word of God on display. We're not waiting for another message. We're not waiting for another messenger. We're not waiting for another interpreter of the message. We're not waiting for somebody to play a tape and tell us what he meant by what he said. Amen. It's time for us to take what he's already done and proclaim it. It's time for us to believe. How many are believers tonight? If we're believers, let's believe. Brother Brown's theme song was Only. He said that brought the angel. That angel didn't leave, friends. That brought the presence of that angel around every time. He did that on purpose, and he was sensitive, and he knew that that would bring the presence of that angel. Amen. You don't think God's mindful of you tonight? You don't think heaven's on your side? You've got keys tonight. That song, Only Believe, it was all based on believing. If you can get the people to believe you. Amen. That's what we want, is for you to take your faith and put it in God's Word. And you'll put it into action. Amen. Do you believe that tonight?
Let's bow our heads.
Father, we stand before you tonight, Lord. Father, the first thing we want to do is confess to you tonight, Lord, that we're nothing in ourselves. And we know that. We're fully aware of it. And Lord, we don't want to make excuses. We don't want to give the devil glory.
Lord, we call ourselves believers.
And if we were to ask people of all walks, of all religions, whether they're believers or not, they would all confess the same thing. They'd all say, yes, of course, I believe.
But Lord, when we claim to believe something,
and it doesn't take place in our life, it doesn't manifest, and then we just let it go, we really aren't a believer. And Lord, we should face that down. We should stand there and say, Lord, I don't understand. All I know is that you said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. So Lord, I want to just stand there. I don't want to reason. I don't want to accept excuses. I don't want to put up with anything. I just want to place my faith in your word. And Lord, if my faith is lacking somehow, I'm just going to confess it and confess it. And I ask you to help my unbelief. Drive out anything that's hindering, because I want to believe with everything that's in me. And Lord, maybe by me confessing it over and over, it'll come out of my mouth and into my ear, and maybe it'll preach to myself, and maybe faith will come by hearing that way. But Lord, I want to confess your word. I want to stand on it. And I don't want to look to the left or look to the right. I don't want to put anything before your word that would hinder your word, but I want it to be amen and amen. Lord, you've given each and every one of us exceeding great and precious promises. It's time for us to act on it. It's time for us to say, you know what, I'm not backing up any longer, devil. It's time for us to say, you know what, devil, you can't have my children. It's time for us to say, you know what, devil, I don't have to put up with this sickness. I don't have to put up with this ache. I don't have to put up with this fear that you put on me. I don't have to put up with this anxiety. I don't have to put up with believing that my needs are not being provided, because you promised me, Lord, that if I sought you first, all these other things would be added. So I'm not going to listen to those lies either. Whatever it is that we have need of tonight, Father, you have provided it. Help us, oh God, to step forward as Caleb's and Joshua's in this hour, Lord, and possess what you've already purchased for us, what you've already made. It's right there, Lord. Show it to us. Lord, open our eyes like Gehazi so we can see in that other dimension what's already all around us. And Lord, you do that when the word goes forth. In the preaching of the word, the preaching of the word going forth shows us what's in that other dimension that belongs to us. Now, Lord, may our faith reach out and grab a hold of that and hold on to it. And may that faith then become a bedding ground to receive that word. It will produce, Lord. It has to. You'll bankrupt heaven before you allow one promise to go unfulfilled. We believe you tonight, Lord. We're not going to make any reasoning or excuses, but we just want to stand on your unfailing words of promise. And we want to declare tonight, Lord, we believe your word. Father, move upon every heart tonight. Father, I'm sure that every one of us has a need. Every one of us, something's come to our mind, something's come to our hearts, no matter what it is, Lord. But we want to step out tonight, Lord, and we want to take a chance. We want to, we say it that way, Lord, but we're really not taking a chance because it's real. Faith is not an I hope so or a maybe, but faith is amen and amen. So, Lord, we want to step forward and not back up. We want to burn any bridges so that there's no place to retreat to, and we want to press forward knowing that you're going to meet each and every need that's been put before you tonight, Lord. So, Father, we lay it before you, and we profess and we claim in our mouths in this dimension how it's going to be according to your word. Lord, what we say is what's going to take place. And, Lord, we have your word. It's nigh us even in our mouths. So we're going to speak, Lord, according to what our faith tells us. And we're going to speak your word. And you said through your prophet that the word of God spoken through human lips from a believing heart, it's the same as deity speaking. So, Lord, it's actually your life that goes forth and causes the things that aren't to become things that are in this dimension. Help us tonight, Lord, each and every one. Move upon every heart, Lord. Father, if there's any that are discouraged here tonight, may that spirit of discouragement lift. Father, may hope, a real, genuine hope, find its resting place instead, and may faith follow right after it, Lord. And Father, may you cause our eyes to look at what's really here versus what we've been putting up with. Grant it tonight, Lord. Father, we love you so much. We thank you. We give you the praise and honor and glory. Lord, we're not going to leave this building tonight with a chip on our shoulder. We're not going to allow the devil to tell us tonight that we were picked on. What was picked on tonight here are devils. And there might have been devils that have been holding us back. But devils, we deny you tonight. We're not going to protect you. We're not going to defend you. We might have got our hides shucked a little bit here tonight. But in the shucking and that good scrubbing, the dirt came off too. The devil had to leave. So we're going to walk out of here free tonight. We're going to walk out with our heads held high. We're going to walk with our spines back. We're going to walk out of here as sons and daughters of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may thy Lord be it unto us according to thy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Do you love him tonight? We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.